All right, well, this morning I want to talk about the most desired commodity that we chase as human beings. It's not only something that we desperately want, but it's also something we misunderstand. What is that? It's love. It is the commodity that you and I, throughout our entire lives, will chase after, think about, desire. You would think we would have a fairly good handle on the subject with all of our culture's inundation into our lives with this subject of love. I mean, think about it. Poets write about it. Writers wax eloquently about it. How many movies have the subject of love? I mean, how many Netflix chick flicks are there about love? It seems like every time I turn on the television, The Notebook is playing. How about our music? I mean, all our music, always, there's something about love is the subject. But if we're not careful, we can get a skewed concept about love from our culture. Let me give you an example. You want to play a game? You want to play a game this morning? All right, let's play a game this morning. You know the game, Name That Tune? All right, let's play Name That Tune. So this is how this is going to work. We're gonna play a snippet of a tune, a song. You have to be the first to raise your hand, and since this is such a big auditorium, is it all right if they use their cell phones for just a few moments? Okay, you gotta raise your hand with your cell phone and the light on, all right? You gotta catch my eye is basically what's gonna happen. So get your phones ready. And you have to correctly name the artist and the title. The bookstore folks were really good. They picked out some really sweet gifts for those who went. All right, so let's do the first one. This is an old one. This is from the 80s. Speaks about love. All right, you ready? All right, hit it. Back here, back in the back. All right, stop. All right, stand up real loud. What is it? Say what? No, no. Down here, down here, down here, down here. Right down here. What is it? What is it? What's love got to do with it? By? Boom, play it. All right. I got a girl gift here. Come on, come on. All right. Congratulations. All right, what's love got to do with it? All right. Let's a little bit more modern, all right? A little more modern. Go ahead, play this one. I'm watching. Sorry, not you. Way back there. Right here. Yep, you. Right here. Yeah, you. Stand up. Oh, no. Right here. What? No, 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 the girl right here. Well, who did it? Kelly Clarkson. Play it. All right, let's just get a lay of the land already. So, all right, so we've had Tina Turner. Think about her message there. I mean, love is a secondhand emotion. And then Kelly Clarkson. I mean, who doesn't love Kelly Clarkson? Since you've been gone, I can finally breathe. What's that say about love? All right, one more. This is my daughter's roommate, Mal. This is one of her favorite artists, all right? So, all right, play it. I'm watching. Play it. I think you're cheating, college students, all the way in the back. So be real quiet, all the way in the back. Who is it? Yeah, it's you. It's you. It's you. Right there, right in the center. Stand up. Who is it? T. Swift, come on. It says boy, but I think you can.
It's okay.
All right, that's good. I am pretty sure that relationship is over. We are never, ever, ever. Anybody here have a relationship like that? All right, now listen to, don't answer that. All right, what is our society saying to us about love? I mean, these are just three songs and we can go on and on and on. Our society is inundating us with this concept that love is temporal, that love is emotional, that love is non-committal. In fact, if you just look in the dictionary, a modern dictionary, you can fact check me. This is the definition of love from a modern dictionary. Love, an intense desire of deep affection. You got to be kidding me. That's just buying into what the culture is already telling us. Now, I want you to hold the thought of where we've been going, and I want you to think, what is the greatest commandment? What does Jesus say in Matthew 22? What is the greatest commandment? Say it. You shall what? Love the Lord your God with what? All of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And then the second is like it. You love your neighbor like yourself. So answer this question. Do you affectionately, emotionally, always love God? Do you affectionately, emotionally, always feel that way about other people? People in your family? Your roommate? I mean, is this really what is the catalyst, is the standard for love? Today, what I want to do is I want us to talk about what true love is, not cultural love. I want to talk about what true love is. If God says, this is the standard, I want you to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, we better understand what it means. So I want you to take your Bibles, I want you to take your scriptures, and I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke 7 and find verse 36. I don't want to show you a definition of love. I want to show you a picture of love. I want to show you God's perspective of love. So I'm going to help you see a story. And in this story, there are three people. Jesus is in this story, a man named Simon, who is a Pharisee, and then simply defined as a woman of the city, a sinner. Those are the three characters. So I'm in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, this is Jesus, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. Stop right there. So you get the scene. Jesus is invited to a party. Now, this is a big event. So he's invited to this very important person's home for a party. This is an elite dinner. And now, in those pre-cinema, pre-Netflix, pre-Hulu days, this would be an event you would go to. Not only would this be an event you would go to, this would be an event you would go to watch. It's often these events would be held on a portico, a porch, and then there was a triclinium, which would be a three-sided table that people would recline at. And so they're on this porch in a very public setting. And so there would be people invited to this party, and then there'd be people who were outsiders. So there's insiders and there's outsiders, kind of watching what was going on. Or the way I like to say it, there's party people and there's perimeter people. So what we immediately discover is that one of the key characters of this story is a perimeter person. So keep reading, verse 37. And behold, a woman of the city. Now, most scholars would say that she's a prostitute, woman of the night. A woman of the city who was a sinner. When she learned that he was there, reclining at the table at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. Now, as part of the perimeter people, she was fine as long as she stayed as a perimeter person. If she stayed in her place, everything was fine. But then something shocking happens. She steps out of the perimeter into the party, and everything changes. Now there's huge tension in the text. Look at verse 38, because it's about ready to get worse. And she stands behind him at his feet, weeping, and she begins to wet his feet with her tears and wipes them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with oil. Imagine this scene. Here's this perimeter person breaks into this very social event, and she kneels down at the feet of Jesus and begins to sob. In fact, it says to wet. The Greek word there is to describe a rain shower. I mean, she's just sobbing at the feet of Jesus. And then this unimaginable moment, she lets down her hair, which could have been seen as a sign of seductivity. And then she breaks open this bottle of perfume, her signature, perhaps what she would use to have sweetened her bed. If you were the host of the party, how would you feel at this moment? Simon was probably appalled. Now he's absolutely overwhelmingly offended by this woman. Now we got to stop here, because the text is begging us to ask the question, why? Why is she doing this? I mean, why would you do this? Would you break into a party like this? Most of us wouldn't even break into a conversation that's going on at the coffee shop, let alone break into an elite party, step out of the darkness of the perimeter into the light of the party. Why did she do it? We need to transport ourselves back to the first century, out of the 21st into the first. And we just have to use our imagination for a moment, and we think, well, you know what? Something had to happen to her. Something happened to her that day. Maybe she was part of the crowd that heard him teach that day. Maybe she heard his call towards repentance and acceptance and forgiveness. Remember, she was a sinner and she was an outcast. Perhaps, just maybe, she saw him for the first time that day and she heard him say, "Come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest, and I will give you peace of soul." Now think about it. Every other man who invited her to come to him wanted something from her, wanted to use her, wanted to discard her. Maybe for the first time in her life, here was a man who offered her something she had never had. Peace. And maybe, just maybe, she was thinking, I hear he's at the party. I've got to just see him one more time. And when she does, She can't help herself. She breaks from the perimeter into the party. Now remember, at this point I told you there's huge tension in the text. There's tension now between the sinner and the saint. There's tension with Jesus in the room. Pick the story back up. We're in verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, notice that he's speaking under his breath, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a, say it, what is it? A sinner. Second time in the text. He knew it. How did he know it? Jesus picks this up. The Son of God reads his mind. And he says, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon, in somewhat of a proud fashion, says, say it, teacher, as if to say, put her in her place. Redeem your honor. Now, catch this. Jesus is about to tell a story. And I don't want you to miss this, because in this story, we see the picture of love. He says the story. He says, there was a certain moneylender who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii. So a denarii was a day's wage, 500. Impossible debt is what he's trying to say. Everyone in the party, everyone in the perimeter would have known, that's an impossible debt. You can't pay that. He says, someone owed 500 denarii, the other 50. That's about a half a year's debt. That's probably payable. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, that would have gotten the attention of the party. In fact, there might have been this audible gasp. Like, what? This is not what moneylenders do. Right? A moneylender lends money with interest to get money back. We call them today loan sharks, right? This is not how loan sharks make their money. If loan sharks gave their money away, we wouldn't call them loan sharks, right? We'd call them something else, loan guppies or something like that. But I mean, the idea is, this is not what you do. And they all caught that. This is not what you do. Now, here's the transitional text. Jesus turns to Simon. He says, which of them will love him more? And the switch flips. Simon answers. By the way, he does this all day long. He knows this. He debates theology for a living. He says, well, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. And then turning towards the woman, he said to him, now watch this. Do you see this woman? I entered your home. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with anointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. I want you to stop here for a moment. If you had a question about love, who would you go to around that table? Most likely you'd go to the religious expert. You'd go to Simon. You would not go to the woman. You'd go to the one who is an expert into this. Simon is the good guy. Simon kept all the rules. Simon was busy for God. Simon is a lot like us, and yet Jesus says to Simon, you love me little. Do you get it? Our teacher this morning is the sinner. It's the woman. The woman teaches us about love. Why? Because she teaches us about what love means to her. It's not just an emotional expression. Was she emotional? Yes, but that was the outflowing of something that was going on in her life. And what was that? Because she was the forgiven much, so she loved much. Do you understand what Christ has done for you? Do you understand? Do you understand that you were once dead and now you are alive? Do you understand that you were broken, now you are healed? Do you understand you were once separated, now you are a child of God? Can you think back on a time in your life when you were separated from Christ? Some of you, praise be to God, you grew up in Christian homes. You've always heard about Christ. You've always known of the love of God. That's the grace of God at work in your life. Maybe for those of us, that's a hurdle we have to overcome so that we don't start to look and act and sound like Simon and slip into the love little. Others of us, we come from cavernous backgrounds of great distance from God, wondering if he would ever, ever turn his face to us. And then when we hear that he does, it changes our whole perspective. See, go back to what is in between the text that we don't know. Something happened to this woman. She came face to face with a Christ who had forgiven her sins, who offered her peace and called her to himself. And at that point, changed the trajectory of the rest of her life. I realize I'm at a Christian university. I realize you hear some of the greatest speakers that the world has to offer. But the message of the gospel can slip right by your ears. Have you confronted the reality that you are broken, lost, sinful, separated, and that Jesus Christ steps into your life and offers you a gift? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, that might spark something today, or it might spark a memory of yesterday. Either way, it teaches us about love. And what is that? It draws us back to the reality of surrendering our life to Christ. Do you see what this is? This is a picture of this woman as the teacher, because she surrenders everything to him. She surrenders her emotion, she surrenders her will, she surrenders her dignity, her pride, her obedience, her life. She surrenders everything. Can you say the same? Can you say the same? I have surrendered everything. You see, what are you holding back? Because if you're holding back, he would confront you like he confronted Simon, and he would say, you love little. Or if you're surrendering all, he would say, you love much. Why? Because you get it. You've been forgiven much. Don't get caught up in the swirl of modern love. It's non-committal, emotionally based, here today, gone tomorrow. the love that God requires and God offers is a complete love. He gives you an utter love, a fulfilling love, a complete love for the soul. And his call to you, surrender. Surrender yourself to him. And you will be a part of the love much. Pray with me, will you? Oh God, I pray that these students would understand the sweet surrender of giving your entire life to you, oh God. Not in lip service or in some concept or some emotional frenzy, but at the will level, saying that I am surrendering my whole life and keeping nothing back from you. And may we learn from this woman moved to surrender her whole life. We too desperately want to be those whom you called the love much. May we demonstrate that in the things that we do in our lives and the things that we say, the people we are, both private and in public. May we love you with that depth of love. Oh God, thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who heals us, who binds our brokenness, who resurrects us from the dead and gives us life. It is him that we desire. It is him that we seek to glorify. It is you, Lord Jesus, that we love. And all of God's people here this morning said, amen. Have a great day.